This is the Pitch Vision Mind Cricket Coach Show, number 53. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Mind Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath in Australia. Coming up on the show, we have a chat with the King of Batting, Gary Palmer. We also have a chat with Manu Gesindam, and as usual, we answer your questions for this week. Well, David, I take it as usual, being your off-season, you've had a quiet week.
Yeah, I've been training as always. Just been to the gym today and been doing some deadlifts. So that's always fun, lifting heavy stuff off the ground. But yeah, apart from that, been
must be sore.
Yeah, no, not yet. Probably be a sore a bit later on, probably tomorrow. So yeah, looking forward to hobbling around. But other than that, no, it's pretty quiet at the moment. The weather's not great, so not much doing at the moment. What about you?
Yeah, David, we just had a fourth game on the weekend, the first part of a fourth game. Mm-hmm. We lost the toss and we bowled first. And we bowled pretty well, actually, as a unit. And we fielded pretty well as well. We bowled them out for 154 in our small home ground, which we thought was really gettable. And in the end, it did turn out pretty gettable because at stumps on the first day, we stand at 130 for 6. With 4 wickets in hand, we need about 24 runs to win. So I think it should be pretty comfortable because we still have 2 batsmen coming into the crease because the lineup we have this week was batting strong, not bowling strong. So
right. Oh, great.
We only had 2 recognised bowlers, which was me and some other guy. So I think we did pretty well, which was a good team effort in the end.
How did you bowl?
I bowled pretty well, David. I got bowled about 8 overs, went for about 4 runs an over and got 2 wickets. Including the wicket of an opener off the second ball. So I was pretty happy. But towards the end of my spell, I had my niggling knee injury come back. So as a reason, because of that, I couldn't play my 2020 game on the next day. Because I thought if I tried and played even more cricket, I'll just flare it up and it'll get even worse. So I thought I should rest it. And so at the moment, it feels pretty good. But I think it was wise to not play that second game as much as I wanted to.
Yeah, when you get pain, you know, that's the body's way of telling you not to play, isn't it? So, to rest. So, you got to listen to your body.
Exactly.
So things are going well this season for you so far. You had that loss, didn't you? But other than that, it's all going swimmingly.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of us can't believe it as well, because at the start of our season, even some of our players, our own players, part-time players, said that we wouldn't win a game this season, looking at the competition with the other teams. But I think a lot of the team building stuff we did before our actual season has really gelled the team together. Mm. Even in the field, we can see everyone communicating with each other perfectly. And to think none of us knew each other as well as we did now, and that we've gelled really well, like a professional unit, and we're playing like a professional unit as well. And it's all thanks to just our team building activities before the season started.
What sort of thing did you do?
But we had little presentations, David. Like, I read in John Buchanan's book that they used to get the players just to talk 1 minute about anything they wanted. Mm-hmm. So we tried that with our team, and we found that we got to know players a lot more. And in the nets, we'd pair people up with certain bowlers or batsmen. So we'd pair up 2 spinners together so they talk to each other while they're bowling to a batsman, or 2 batsmen batting next to each other so they talk to each other. And we made it so that we're pairing someone up with someone they've never met before. And through that, people got to know each other a lot more. And it's also helped, David, that at the start of the season, a lot of players were doubting other players' abilities. And all the players' abilities being doubted have performed so far, so it's given everyone else confidence that everyone can do their job.
So now what do you think? At the start of the season, you weren't confident, but now?
We're confident, but I still don't think that we're good enough at the moment to win the comp, David. We've just been playing patches of good cricket that have been good enough to win us the games, but we still have a long way to go. And touch wood that we'll get better and better as the day goes by. And for all of us, we're learning as we go, so it's going to be a great learning experience.
It's quite a young team, is it?
Yeah, well, there's about eight young guys, with eight of them under 20, and the oldest guy we have is our captain, who's 23.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So, yeah, it's really good youthful energy coming out from our team, which shows against teams when we play the older teams as well, with guys about 40, 45. We sort of outmatch them in the energy department, which is why I think we're doing so well so far.
Yeah, I think that can make a big difference. Just an energetic looking side can intimidate teams sometimes, just by looking like you're keen, is often enough to make what is it they say, fake it until you make it. But if you pretend that
Yep,
you
yep.
if you pretend that you're keen and enthusiastic, suddenly you find that you are keen and enthusiastic. And when the opposition see that you're being keen and enthusiastic, then they tend to think, oh, these guys are know what they're. They know what they're doing. They're obviously confident, so we better watch out here. And that becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling thing as well, because they tense up a bit. Before you know it, you're on top. Even though when you started, you were just saying, right, let's just pretend to be enthusiastic. Before you know it, you are really being enthusiastic because you're taking wickets or you're scoring runs.
Yeah, well, hopefully we just continue to maintain our energy even when you lose, David. Well, we've started a new segment last cricket show, and we have it back this week where we have a chat with batting coach Gary Palmer. Now, Gary Palmer was a first class cricketer who played for Somerset, and he now helps young players in the game with CCM Academy. So if you want to find out more, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. So let's have a listen to what Gary Palmer has to say for us this week.
Hi Gary, welcome back to the show.
Hi, David.
Another question from a listener this week. He says,
Another one.
another one, yeah. He says, in defence, I'm quite confident of playing spinners. The problem I have against them is when trying to force the pace. In the past, I used to get bogged down by the lack of pace, but I've added the sweep to my armoury, so that's my get out of jail shot. But I'm very reluctant to go down the pitch to spinners, because I don't trust my footwork fully, and I'm always afraid of missing the ball and being stumped. Can you help?
I think this particular person, it's not a matter of not trusting their footwork. I think it's a matter of not trusting their arm and completion of shot shape. The fact that the person finds it hard to sort of milk the bowling or attack it would suggest to me that, okay, they're good in defence, but they want to sweep because they can't actually drive the ball down the ground, either when it's on a half volley or it's not quite there and you're trying to improvise and hit straight or hit over the top. Would suggest to me that maybe the bottom hand's too tight, that they may be stepping too far forward with the foot, so that would mean that you've got a very small hitting zone. And that they may well be picking the bat up over leg stump, so when they try to hit the ball that's not there to hit, they can't help but swing around it like a golfer. So my first port of call now, and I'm guessing because I haven't seen this player, but just on the information I've got, I think they probably need to check that they're slightly open with the shoulders and the backswing's going over off stump. They should check that the bottom hand is a fingers and thumb grip when they hit the ball and hit through the line. They should check where they're making contact with the ball, because from what you've said, my guess is they're probably trying to make contact level with their foot rather than out in front of their foot. And when I say out in front of the foot, you still need to let the ball to come to you, but your contact point should be out in front. And this person would also need to be able to maintain, or should work on maintain, a really high leading elbow, exaggerated elbow position after hitting the ball. This person may well be the sort of player that just swings straight through and does the full swing and collapses the arms. Therefore, when the ball's not there, the bat face closes too early. So I would advocate practice using a check drive, practice hitting balls that aren't quite there, so you're out of your comfort zone. Keep adjusting your elbow position and look to hit the ball straight back over the bowler's head in the V where possible. I would master the front foot drive through mid-off, straight and through mid-on, both along the ground and in the air, and then I would use the sweep as a get out of jail shot if I was really struggling to score. But I think it would be criminal for this person to just go from defence to sweep. It's more important for all young players out there and club cricketers to actually master the straight batted shots first, and to master them and do them in great detail in practice and do them well, over exaggerate technique all the time. And you may well find that if you enhance and improve these shots, you might not bother with a sweep. You might find it's easier to hit the ball straight back over the bowler's head. You might find it easier to clear the leg and hit the ball over mid-wicket and square leg. I think the sweep shot is, and the reverse sweep and the left-handed shot, are very difficult shots to play. They're not natural shots. But if my player that I was working with couldn't play the drives down the ground, and I would be disappointed with myself as a coach if I couldn't get them to achieve that, then if they were that limited, I would say, OK, maybe we bring in the sweep and the reverse sweep. But if you watch the Australians play, who won all those one-day games, I don't think that you'll see too many sweeps, reverse sweeps, and Duchan, whatever you call them, shots over the keeper's head. And the name of the game is to win matches and improve performance rather than look pretty and show people, look, I can do this shot and that shot. I think you're missing the point when people do all that sort of stuff.
And what about playing with the spin and playing against the spin? Is there a place for building up confidence by playing the higher percentage shots?
I would always look to play and coach players to play with the spin, and it becomes more apparent when the ball's not quite there to hit, so it's bounced out in front of you and it's turning after it's bounced. You know, if you want to hit those balls in the right areas with low risk factor, you have to be looking to hit with the spin and manoeuvring your body so that you swing your bat in a pretty much straight line to the ball from backswing to contact. The only time you can hit against the spin is if it's not turning very much, or if you get right to the pitch of the ball. But if you watch the great players, you know, when someone bowls that ball that's not quite there to hit, when Mr. Average or Mrs. Average will block it because they've played the line of the ball rather than slightly to the side of where the ball's turning, you'll find the great players can just still hit through that ball with the spin, look quite comfortable and in control, and knock that for two and potentially four. But the only time I think I teach my players to play with a spin, if it's left arm over, bowling outside, leg stump, turning into the stumps, very difficult to run down the wicket and hit that through mid-arm, it's a bit of a risk. So you might sweep. And to sweep against the spin, you know, you just get a little bit more through the shot and on the ball. It seems to be easier to play. But I would advocate hitting with the spin where possible, because the risk factor is a lot lower. I mean, if you try and come down the wicket and hit against the spin to a ball that's turning square and you haven't got there, it's an off spinner, and you're trying to hit over extra cover and the ball bites and turns, the chances are you're going to hit through it and get caught in the box on the leg side. Maybe it's short leg, but you're certainly not going to have a clean hit.
Thank you, Gary, for your time. And again, if you want to find out more about Gary Palmer and CCM Academy, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. We also have back this week our interview with Manu Gazandam, and this week we have the second part of our interview. Manu has authored an ebook that consists of 120 pages of the tips and tricks for spinners. So if you're a spinner or a coach of spinners, then Spin Bowling Tips is the most comprehensive guide to spin bowling out there. So please visit www.pitchvision.com/academy to pick up a copy.
We've all seen top-level spinners who can make the ball move in the air in the opposite direction to the way it turns. How do they do that?
Right. Now, there's a common misconception among young spin bowlers or people who see that for the first time and think it's the same thing as a swing bowler. It's not. The effect is almost the same, but the reason why it's doing it's the same. Quick bowlers move the ball in the air. They shy on the one side, and what's happened is, without getting too technical, the ball flows quicker around the one side, on the shiny side, than it does around the rough side. And because of the friction in the air, the ball will slowly swing to the one side. The spin bowler is different. The technical term for this, or the cricket term first, is it's called drift. or curve, as Australians would say. But the technical term for it is called the Magnus effect. Without going into a science lesson once again, what happens is just it's a pressure differentiation to the sides of the ball. Any object that has a lot of revolutions on it that moves in the air, what happens is a high pressure created on the one side and a low pressure on the side. And laws of science say if you've got high pressure and low pressure, the object will move from the high to the low, like weather patterns moves from high to low. The same thing will happen to a cricket ball. If that moves at a certain angle and it's got revolutions on it, you will have a force created by pressure pushing that ball to the side. So what will happen in practice is a leg spinner, with the way he's spinning the ball, would actually drift the ball from the offside to the leg side, and an off spinner would drift the ball from the leg side to the offside in the air because of all the revolutions that's put on the ball. Maybe I should add here that there are off spinners out there. I think this is only a leg spin phenomenon. It's not. I've seen an incredible YouTube clip that I've actually had a link in my book of Harbhajan Singh getting drift in the air that is almost equivalent to the ball of the century that Shane Warne bowled to Mike Gatting in the 92 Ashes. It is quite phenomenal. So whether you're an off spinner or a leg spinner, you really can drift or curve the ball in the air if you put enough revolutions on it.
And how much do you have to give the ball a rip to get that effect to happen? Do you really have to rip it, or can you do it with a? Can you get away? Will it happen with a? With less of a rip?
It will not happen with less of a rip. The science behind it is the more revolutions you put on it, the more pressure differentiation there will be on the sides of the delivery. So, but it also got to, you can't just toss it up and spin it. It has to travel at a certain speed as well. So you really got to rip it, and you've got to practice with different speeds as to your sort of revolutions you put on the board. It's a combination of these two. So you're really trialing it where you're starting to see drift. But it's not a common sight in low level cricket or in club cricket, because it's really the top guys that do this. You really have to put a lot of revolutions on it to get that drift.
You were talking about speed there, the playing with the speed of the delivery, and that brings us on nicely to the next question, which is what kind of pace should a spinner be aiming to bowl at?
Oh yeah, that's a tough one, because I wouldn't say there's a specific pace for all spin bowlers. If you look at Anil Kumble, he bowled at a lot quicker pace than what Shane Warne did. Yet they were both very successful bowlers. The average spin bowler bowls, I'd say, between about 50 or 60 miles an hour. But really, I can't tell you bowl 55 miles an hour, because that's just not the way it works. It's a combination of what feels most comfortable for you. You get spinners that push a ball through the air very quickly, like Shad Afridi. He pushes it through, or he used to push it very quickly. These days he mixes it up a lot. I had a lot of success with it as well. But the thing you've got to remember is the slower you bowl the ball, probably the more spin you get. Not probably, you will get more spin. It gives the ball more time to grip. Where you bowled quicker, it would tend to skid on the track. So you've got to use the different elements. If you bowl quicker, the ball will probably skid on. So it's always mix it up. Don't just bowl one speed. Find a comfortable speed for you for your stock delivery that you feel very confident in bowling. And whether that's a slow ball or a quick ball, doesn't really matter. If you find you're not getting spin, then maybe slow it a bit down until you get the spin you want. But there's no magic figure. I say the most important thing is you've got to feel comfortable, and you've got to remember the slower you bowl it, the more spin you'll get.
Thank you, Manu, for your time. And again, if you're a spinner or a coach of spinners, then Spin Bowling Tips is the most comprehensive guide to spin bowling. So please visit www.pitchvision.com/academy to pick up a copy. Welcome to the listeners' question section for this week. Now, David, our first question is from a guy called Gerard, and he says, I'm a 5'9" pace bowler, and I do some explosive weight training. I watched some exercises from Atul Sharma from a clip, and I was wondering what body build should I look like, Brett Lee or Atul Sharma? Can you please help me in my workout so I bowl as fast as I can. Now, David, is looking like someone the best way to go about it? I mean, there's different builds of bowlers in the world nowadays. There's the Ishan Sharma kind of bowler, really skinny, whereas there's the Mitchell Johnson kind of bowler, who's really built, or you even have the Andrew Filtoff, who's really bulky and built as well. Is that really the right way to go about it, David?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's interesting in the way that it's worded, because you might think that the way you look doesn't really make any difference. It's how you bowl that makes the difference. But there is actually some science behind the way you look. It's not just sort of, you know, looking good on the beach and having the abs and all the rest of it. It's because everyone is a different type of build. It's or body type, I suppose, is the correct term. That's genetically defined, so you're not going to be changing that. So someone like Atul Sharma, who, if you've seen the pictures of him, then he's very broad-shouldered, he's very thin-hipped. He does a lot of strength training, but he looks like a javelin thrower or something.
Yeah.
Then he was naturally inclined to look that way no matter what. I mean, his training has helped that. But he was naturally inclined to look like that no matter what. Now, say somebody like Ishant Sharma, he's very tall and spindly. It doesn't matter what type of training he does or what type of diet he has, he's never going to look like Atul Sharma. Never.
Yeah.
Because he's genetically, it's predefined in a completely different way. So Atul Sharma is what is known as a mesomorph. Ishant Sharma is probably more towards an ectomorph, which is someone who's sort of tall and thin and has got long limbs. So what you find is, what they've done research into this in elite level sport. I haven't seen any research into it in particular for cricket fast bowlers, although there probably is some. But certainly I've seen research into elite level sport in general, the Olympic athletes. And they found that most Olympic athletes were overwhelmingly mesomorphs, i.e. people with broad shoulders and thin hips. A lot of fast bowlers will probably be sort of a combination between a mesomorph and an ectomorph in some way or another, because having long levers, being very tall, obviously helps with fast bowling. Because, you know, that's just physics. The ball can come out faster. It can come out from a greater height. So a lot of fast bowlers are generally taller than average. Not everyone, of course.
Yeah.
So why does that matter? Well, it matters because if you know your body type, then you can adjust your training and your diet to match it.
Yeah.
So, for example, if 5'9", that's probably at the shorter end for a fast bowler. Our friend here is only 5'9", so that's probably the shorter end for a fast bowler. So, but we don't. Yeah, yeah. So he's probably not an ectomorph, but it's impossible for us to say without doing some kind of test on him. And there is an actual proper test for determining your body type, but you can probably work it out for yourself. You know, you can usually tell by looking roughly where somebody falls on the scale of things. So if you are a mesomorph, then you know that you can put on muscle more easily. You can end up looking like Atul Sharma more easily, and then you can be a faster bowler because you've got more. You can put more power into your action.
Yeah.
The other advantage of being a mesomorph is that you can naturally get results by training, doing any kind of training really, whereas someone like an endomorph, who's puts on fat a bit more easily and finds it harder to build strength and stamina, they can train a lot harder because they need to train harder. So, you know, if you're in the endomorph category, you might have to train a lot harder to get the same results as a mesomorph. The ectomorphs, which is again quite a common bowler type, the tall and thin guys, They find it a lot easier to overtrain. It doesn't take much for them to overtrain. So the big focus for you will be not only on training, but also on recovery. And you can also extend that out into the way that you eat as well. Generally speaking, endomorphs don't do very well with starchy carbohydrates. You know, they tend to put on extra fat if they eat too much starchy carbohydrates. Mesomorphs, they can sort of balance out all types of food, and ectomorphs probably need more carbohydrates than anybody else because they find it very hard to put on weight in any kind, in muscle or in fat. So you've got, it's definitely something that's important, but you shouldn't worry about it too much because it's very hard to define exactly where you are on the scale of things. But if you so it's probably a matter of experimentation and working out what works best for you, which really is always the case no matter what your body type. But it does matter, you know, it does matter. Yeah. And if you can work out the right way to do things for yourself, then, you know, perhaps one of those tips that I gave you is just going to be a little shortcut. So that's a long answer to a short question. The actual question itself is, should I look like Athol Sharma? Should I look like Brett Lee? It doesn't really matter as long as you are fit and strong and healthy. And the way you're going to do that is to train as much as possible for your body type.
Okay, David, our next question is from Keegan. And he has a question that most of us bowlers have, David. And he says, I'm struggling to take wickets. I bowl at an off stump line for a right hand batsman with just a little bit of outswing, but I can't take a wicket. I bowled 8 overs. And I got 3 maidens and I went for 15 runs. How do I get wickets? But those sound like decent figures. If you give me those figures every game, I'd walk away with that happy, even if I don't get any wickets. But to get wickets, does he maybe have to change things up a little bit? Or is there a technical problem here? Because I'm thinking if he keeps bowling at an off stump line, he can get a bit too predictable. So batsmen can just block it out or maybe pick the odd single or two here and there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't know enough to say anything in detail here. But I mean, you generally, if you're bowling away swing, then the way you're going to get wickets is catches in the slips and catches to the wicketkeeper. That's the key, because you're looking to get the edge. So that's what happens with away swing. So if that's not happening, then there's a good chance that something is going wrong with that particular tactic. So perhaps the ball is swinging too much. So if the ball's swinging too much, then the batsman knows that he can leave anything on the off stump or outside. He doesn't have to play at it, and he can just let it go. Yeah. And that he just waits for the ball, you know, just waits for the straighter ball, which he can drive or flick off his legs.
Yeah.
The other thing that might be happening is that he's bowling a little bit too short. So it's not, yeah. He's not giving it time for the ball to swing enough to beat the batsman. So, you know, if you, and it doesn't have to be that, it could be a good length, but if you're a swing bowler, then sometimes you need to pitch the ball further up than you would if you were a seam bowler with a little bit more pace behind you. But if you're a swing bowler, especially if you're a medium pace swing bowler, you might have to be almost bowling at half volley length to get the ball to swing in the air. So, because you want the batsman coming forward, you want the batsman driving at the ball. So it just swings that little bit and they edge it to the slips. So it could be that. If the ball is swinging too much and the batsman is, maybe he's playing and missing it a few, but he's not getting near enough to nick it or he's leaving them outside the off stump, then you've got a couple of options. You can keep bowling in that way and just let the pressure get to the batsman. As long as you bowl accurately, then eventually the batsman's going to think to himself, well, I'm going to have to play a shot here, otherwise I'll never get any runs. So keep nagging away that line, that top of off stump line, and hope that he makes the mistake for you by playing an overly attacking shot to a ball that isn't quite there to drive or something like that. Or the other option is to just make a slight adjustment to your run up, maybe take a pace. If you're right arm bowler, take a pace to your right hand side, and that just adjust the angle of the run up, and the swing of the ball then is going sort of it's starting from wide and straightening up rather than it's starting yeah starting from wide and straightening up rather than starting from perhaps close to the stumps and then swinging away. So that's your other option, and that might be enough to fool the batsman. The other option is, of course, yeah. if the batsman is leaving everything outside off stump, then you just throw a couple outside off stump, and then you hold the ball across the seam, and you bowl another one, but roughly on about off stump. Batsman leaves it and knocks the off peg back. Now, there's not many better feelings as a bowler, not that I know, but certainly from the wicketkeeper position, to see a batsman shoulder arms and the off stump knockback. Is one of the great moments for any player, I think, apart from the batsman, of course. And yeah. I've that's happened to me once, and you feel like an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
With me, it was a seam bowler. He ducked one back in from way outside the off stump. So you know, I feel justified in leaving it, but it came back so far. It just hit the off stump, so I felt like an idiot. But the bowler there was absolutely delighted. So I can imagine why. So yeah, that's always a good tactic. I wouldn't worry too much about variations, you know, cutters, slower balls, things like that. Not unless you're playing a relatively high level. And the reason I wouldn't worry yeah. about those is it takes a lot of practice to get them right, and it takes a lot of practice to get the away swinger right as well. You know, aim to be putting the ball on the spot at least five balls per over, and if you can do that and it swings a little yeah. bit, then you'll get plenty of wickets, because batsmen at club level, at school level, batsmen make mistakes at the highest level,
yeah, yeah.
So but batsmen particularly make mistakes at club and school level, particularly if you're playing a shorter game, if you're playing say a one day limited overs style game. But even if you're playing 2 day cricket, there's only it's not like you're playing a test match. You're still going to have to get on with it at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you've got to look at it from the batsman's point of view and think, right, if I just keep putting the ball there, eventually he's going to have to try and manufacture something. And he may pull it off. If he does, then, you know, you applaud the brilliant 100 that he got. But most of the time most batsmen are not going to do that. They're going to make a mistake, especially if you are actually swinging the ball. Tail enders in particular can't play swing bowling, so you can clean up the tail yeah. there and get, you know, maybe get one or two early wickets and then come back to clean up the tail, and you've got your five for. What do you bowl, Cobb? Is it in swing or out swing?
I'm a natural in-swinger. I can't get out-swing even if I try it for some reason.
Oh, okay. So what's your plan? Are you one of these try and sort of bowl line and length and wear them down type of bowlers?
Yeah, I tried that, but when it doesn't happen, it goes all wrong. So, because I don't even have the pace to scare batsmen out, so I just have to rely on line length or else I'll get hammered.
And you don't have many. You don't have a particularly large amount of variations. You just sort of try and find the right area and keep bowling there until somebody makes a mistake.
Yeah, I have a slower ball I use now and then, and I have a cutter as well, a leg cutter.
Yeah.
But other than that, David, it's I hardly use any of those variations as well.
Mm.
I mean, I perfected them in the nets, but I don't think that unless I'm 100% confident on using them, I can use them regularly. So. Yeah. I pull it out whenever I need to now and then, but other than that, it's just my stock ball.
Yeah, exactly. And if you overuse those variations, they almost become stock balls, and the batsman gets used to them, and they're not a surprise anymore. So yeah, good thing about having a variation is you've got a surprise. But if you haven't got that variation, don't try it when you're out in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. And you can get more tips and tricks on our website at www.pitchvision.com. The site is updated daily and includes forums to chat with other cricketers around the world. Stay tuned for our next show on the 6th of November. So if you want to get in touch with us and email us your questions, you can email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next time. So this is Kevin Sampath from Sydney, Australia, signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.
The My Cricket Coach Show is a copyright-protected production for Pitch Vision. For more information, please visit pitchvision.com.